2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled Day number 2 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. If you haven't read Ben Anderson's write-up about the Jazz's first win of the season, you want to go over to KSLSports.com and get that write-up. It's one of the best in the market, if not the best in the market. You can get that breakdown from Ben every day. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, practicing his golf swing in
his
seat.
Well, I'm working on my Tony Finau golf tip I got at the basketball game last night.
Right. You watched it.
Yeah, I watched it.
He's clicking back and he's rewinding, and I'm going, what are you watching here? And it was like, Dwayne Wade's getting some golf tips from Tony Finau here, dude.
And if they're good enough for Dwayne Wade, they're good enough for anyone. I mean,
they've been playing. Yeah, Scott is on hitting from the wrong side of the golf ball. That's not a metaphor. I'm just saying that's
So the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body.
Okay.
Therefore, left-handed people, the only ones in their right mind.
Okay. Okay.
I've dealt with all you right-handed people my
you know,
whole life.
Look, you know I
don't care what you say.
Look, you know I sympathize because I throw left-handed.
You're partially left-handed.
I'm a partially left-handed. Makes it sound like I've got something going on with like a prosthetic, but I just I've only ever thrown right or left-handed. I mean,
yeah.
It's the only thing I do left-handed. I have no idea why, but you and I look super weird throwing the football together. So come on in, catch
well,
a pass.
One of us
Scott
weird.
Mitchell. Yeah, we're here at the warehouse, 1825 South. And Third West here in Salt Lake City, easy enough to find, amazing deals so you can come down and see as well. In the meantime, Scott, we're going to get Tim Lacombe on the horn here with us in just a couple minutes for our Jazz Insider Report. I'm interested to get his take on some of the things that we saw in game number one. What's your biggest takeaway from game number one, Scott, as you saw the Jazz get that 21-point win over the Oklahoma City Thunder? It wasn't all that crazy. We knew that they would probably beat this Oklahoma City team, but I think that that we could take away quite a bit in game number one.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me was I think the Jazz have a really good basketball team, and there's gonna be a dynamic to them that's different this season. I know perimeter defense was something that was an issue, and I think there's this emphasis on playing better defensively than in the past, and not relying so heavily on Rudy Gobert and making it harder for teams to drive to the basket, and so that was an exciting thing. But really, it's just good to see that there's a solid cast of people supporting a superstar in Donovan Mitchell and a team, I think, that plays unselfish and plays really good basketball, which is nice because Donovan Mitchell didn't have a great night, but Jordan Clarkson did, Bogey did, Ingles, Rudy Gobert,
But what's your anticipation? What's your anticipation for Donovan? I mean, like, he had 16 points, and he's not. I guess we try to get the guy – I know we live by a lot of numbers and go, well, he's supposed to be averaging 26.5 points a game. That's where he was last year, and we got to get him there. But at the same time, it was a lot of the same guys with great chemistry and double figures and kind of doing the team thing.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is a league of streaks, and, and runs, you know, whether it's in a game or through the course of the season. And so it's getting into that flow and just kind of going on that run. And that's just playing basketball. And, you know, Donovan said, look, I'm not concerned about the shooting. The shots will fall over time. And that's just what happens. So you really have to look at this team. You have to look at what's happening over a course of a series of games and situations. And I would expect the team to be rusty. You know, they didn't play a lot in the preseason, and so I'm not surprised by some of that. But it was just nice to see some of these players come out and play well early in the game and in the season.
As you look and see kind of the rest of the league here, and I was looking last night because I started to – I mean, who cares about the standings after game one? But at the same time, I look in the West, and I go, I don't know exactly who is going to be the team that is going to be the must-beat team, because last year the Lakers were better than they were, but they were just – they still weren't great, and they barely made the playoffs. They kind of barely got in.
Which was fun to watch and witness. They barely got in and got out quickly.
Yeah, Golden State Warriors, yeah. Same thing. You're not used to seeing those guys kind of trying to play themselves in as the Jazz, you know, that number one seed in the West. But I know that you don't care about the regular season necessarily, but I'm trying to figure out what, at the beginning of a season, what a team goes through, because they've been working on a lot. But at the same time, I mean, camp was, you know, a couple weeks ago, and preseason games were just over the last couple of weeks. And so what do you do right at the beginning of the season? How do you hit the ground running to be able to just kind of start gelling? Because the Jazz were good at the beginning of last year and stayed all the way through. You saw a team like the Bucks who were like, we don't know what we're doing at the beginning of the year. Remember, Giannis Antetokounmpo at the beginning of last season was like, when they got beat up badly by the Jazz here in Salt Lake during the regular season, he goes, yeah, this team's having fun, man. I mean, this is something that we lack right now. We don't really have the team thing going on. We don't really have the chemistry thing going on. And then it ended up being what? It was the Milwaukee Bucks doing what the cliche sports world thing was, which is they start to gel at the end of the season. I know you don't care about the regular season, but what happens at the beginning? How do teams get going right out of the gate like the Jazz have been doing the last couple of seasons?
I think that there's these guys are playing together better. And when you have guys that you trust, the game moves fast, right? And you have to see it and read it and react to it. It doesn't matter what professional sport it is. And you have guys you have to rely on. And so there's this kind of there's this nonverbal communication that goes on so often. You're reading body language, you're reading the defense, you're reading all the different looks that you're seeing, and you got to trust that a guy's going to make a move or you know how they mesh in their screens or how they're passing or how they're communicating on their defenses and all those different things. And unless you play with players and over time, it's hard to get that. And so I think it's one of those things that you know, this Jazz team has is can they get that chemistry? Can they get that continuity? I think personally, this is my feeling, is the Jazz wanted an improvement over last year, right? And they got exposed to what their weakness was in the playoffs, and it really came to fruition. And when someone, you know, as David Locke said, can really dial in and have some time to plan and game plan for you and make an adjustment to what you're doing, and that exposed some of the weaknesses, and that perimeter defense for the Jazz was the issue a year ago. So are these new players, is that going to make a difference? And does that enhance this team? And then really, who's going to come in for Rudy Gobert? You know, and that was an issue a year ago. And so I think early on, people want to see is this going to be, you know, is this an improvement? You think of a couple of years ago, and the Jazz brought players in that they thought, you know, were going to Joe Davis and Jeff Green, and thought they were going to be like, you know, they were really going to help this team improve, and they were kind of an abysmal failure for the Jazz. Now, it's not saying these players are bad, but it just didn't work with the Jazz, and then they have this midseason trade for Jordan Clarkson. I mean, you know, he comes in and like, holy cow, we found another piece to the puzzle. So Are these new additions, are they going to be the ones that actually help get the Jazz over the hump? Are they going to be that difference? It, coupled with an improving Rudy Gobert, a guy whose game is developing, and a developing Donovan Mitchell, and a season savvy Mike Connolly, and where are all those other bit players, you know, Jordan Clarkson and Boyan and Ingles, are, you know, do they fit into this, and have they gotten past their prime, or are they still in a place, you know, do all these pieces fit together to create that championship, and that's what you want to see, is this team ready to make that final step? And I think a lot of people feel that way about the Utah Jazz. They feel like they're a team that's trending and moving in the right direction, and only you'll find that out over the course of the season. But, you know, what do you do during the regular season? You work on those things. You develop that chemistry and that style that you can take into the playoffs and win with.
So Oklahoma City, check, first win in the books, 107-86 last night. But you got to hit the road immediately in the NBA. It's a lot going on. So the Jazz are taking on the Sacramento Kings immediately tomorrow night on the road. This is a team, again, that was not fantastic last season. In fact, the Jazz kind of locked out the season against those guys and blew them up last year. But I think that everybody looks at this team and knows they have the same kind of thing going on. They've got De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield. These are all shooters. Terrence Davis, and then Davion Mitchell. Don't get them confused for our own Donovan Mitchell. But these are five guards that have a real shot of cracking an NBA rotation. So the storyline is, you got all these young teams with a bunch of young guys who are like, don't care. I'm going to start playing amazing defense, and I'm going to start Lou Dort last night. I mean, he's a great defender. And so people started right off the bat going, yeah, look at this guy. He's kind of owning Donovan Mitchell before Donovan kind of woke up a little bit in the second half. But I love seeing all these younger teams putting themselves together here, as you've got, you know, the old and busted out west with, like, the Lakers. But the Sacramento Kings are one of those teams that have a bunch of young talent coming up, but obviously not going to be probably their year this year.
No, I think there's a lot of good young talent in the NBA. And it professional sports, I don't care what sport it is, is always evolving, always pushing the envelope. You think of Michael Jordan's era, and there was a Michael Jordan. Like, he was such a unique talent, and now you see a lot of players that have developed, and clearly they're not Michael Jordan, but they're more of that athletic type of basketball player, and these young kids are getting exposed to basketball at such an earlier age. I mean, now you're talking about players who aren't, they're not even going into college anymore. You know, they're going to a professional league, whether it's in Europe or the G League or some of these places.
Is that watered down? Do you think that's watered? That's going to continue to water down the college game and make it
sure,
not as exciting?
Well, actually, maybe it won't, because what's exciting about basketball is you get these kids that play in a program for a long time. They understand the culture and the chemistry, and they mature, and they get a chance to play basketball. And maybe some of them would be kind of left in the dark with some of these, you know, elite superstar players taking their spot. Does it make the basketball a little bit less? I don't know that it does. I don't know that much, you know. But it, I think in some ways, it may make it better, because you have players staying in the continuity of a program for a lot longer period. It's not one and done or a couple of years and they're out kind of thing. They're sticking around. And quite frankly, some of them might blossom and grow and turn into a pro prospect because they got an opportunity to play and they got a chance to develop and they were in the right situation. And you know, the best way to improve in anything you do is to go out and do it. You get the game reps, man, or that's what it really really changes things. And so I think getting back to my thought was, the NBA is evolving and it continues to evolve, and so the Jazz can't stand pat. You know, the Jazz have to move forward with that same kind of thing. And if you're a player playing professional basketball or any sport, you have to evolve too. Your game has to improve. the players that make it are like, they're so driven. Like, they'll do anything, you know. I mean, you talk about the work ethic of Kobe Bryant and all, you know, some of these players, and like, I'm in the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. I've shot 1,000 jump shots before, you know, 8 a.m. And it's, again, it's that mindset of just pushing yourself and moving forward. And the Jazz would be massively naive to think that nobody else is going to catch up with them. Are the Sacramento Kings, you know, in the caliber of the Utah Jazz right now? No. I mean, the Jazz players have kind of been pushing and vetting themselves. And that's, I think, one of the things I've really, really appreciated watching Donovan Mitchell have that willingness to push himself and to develop and to figure all this, you know, all this stuff out and kind of lead that out for the team. And you see these other players doing the same. I mean, Royce O'Neal is a player that's kind of developed himself into a starting player on an NBA team. And it's certainly through a lot of hard work and a lot of effort that we'll probably never understand or see or know. But he was willing to do that. The Jazz are great at developing young talent. They have a reputation of doing that. So I really like where the Jazz organization is and where this basketball team is. I'm a huge fan. I love to watch it. I love to see how it evolves over the season. You know, I love when these teams get on these fun runs, you know, and they start winning a lot of basketball games, and that gets exciting. But I think we're at an evolution with this team where, like, okay, we want to see a championship. We want to compete for championships now. And I think everyone feels that way. I don't think it's just the fans. I think these players feel that. I think they're at a mature enough level right now that they can handle winning a championship. Yeah. And they have the confidence, I think, that they can do it.
So the Kings, if you're wondering, they won their first game over the Portland Trailblazers. And Harrison Barnes had 36 points. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, again, immediately you start to think of the Kings and go, yeah, I mean, they're kind of up and going. But you see teams like the Portland Trailblazers, and you go, man, these guys, I keep wondering, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was a tough first go, right? I mean, last year they had the same kind of thing going on where they struggled to get things going. But Harrison Barnes is an absolute killer. I mean, 36 points. There's a reason he's paid $25 million a year. There's a reason he's going to be their superstar this year. But, you know, I mean, that's who they're going in. And their team is set up to face a team like this. And the question is, can the Jazz go into Sacramento and make sure they can get that W on the road? I always just love the fact that we jump straight into basketball season. The road tests are immediate. I think the Jazz have a really, really good spot here where they can go, look, all right, we're starting off the season here. Like I said, this is not something where we have to start off super quick like we have in the past. They go right here this first week. It looks like the Kings tomorrow night. Then you've got the Nuggets coming to Vivint Smart Home Arena next Tuesday. And then you're on the road to the Houston Rockets and on the road to the Bulls and the Bucks. So you have that three for right there. I mean, that's already – David Locke talked about it too. On that Halloween weekend, you've got a Saturday-Sunday back-to-back with the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, those back-to-backs are Mike Conley likely not going to be playing those back-to-backs soon.
Well, and that'll be an interesting thing to see how the Jazz manage that this season, the back-to-backs and the play of these players. And, you know, everyone now is talking so much about depth and being able to rest guys, and it has an impact over the course of the season. So those are kind of fun little side stories to watch as you're a Utah Jazz fan.
Isn't that fun to have some guys on the team? You're like, oh boy, load management. Got some older gentlemen on the roster. Every year gets a little bit harder for them to do the old back to back thing. But that's the best version of Mike Conley, right? Where you go, get the guy rested, man. Get Joe Ingles. Feeling it, man. Get that
all right, would you rather have Mike Conley right now, early on in the season, playing in Sacramento or playing the second game of a doubleheader or a back-to-back in October on Halloween, or would you rather have him playing in the playoffs in Game 6 against the L.A. Clippers?
Well, see, the smart move is you don't play him. You don't play him after that Rockets game. You let him sit on that Saturday night so he can play against the Bucks on Halloween night. That's what I really love. That's the kind of thing that I love.
All right, we're going to take another break here. We've got so much more to talk about here on the program. Last half hour-ish of the show, we've got so much more to get to. We've got our What Are the Odds Around the Corner that we want you to play right along here with us. But first, we're going to get out to Clayton Curl, who's on the horn here with us. We're at the Warehouse 1825 South and 3rd West here in Salt Lake City. Clayton, your dad, always trying to outdo you, rolling out what he calls way better deals that you can offer. So he came in, and we got to see him in the flesh, and he rolled out better deals that he said that you can bring us. So what can you do for us if people come down to the Warehouse today?
Hey, well, my dad's always been a one-upper. I think anybody that knows him knows that. He's a good storyteller, but what he probably didn't mention is I'm the favorite son, and I know I can say that because my little brother's in class right now. He's a student down at BYU, so I know he's in class not listening, so I can say that. And here at the Warehouse, we have sectionals that are named after the favorite son, the Clayton Sectional. These are custom-made sectionals built right here in the Valley, in Salt Lake, in Utah. They're awesome sectionals, okay? If you come in and you feel the sectional, you can feel that the wood is twice as thick than the imported stuff from overseas over in Asia. This stuff is really, really made well. It's made right here in Utah. It's a local company supporting a local factory. We love the manufacturers. The best part is their cushions. It's not like the major manufacturers that may or may not start with an A. I don't think I can say their name on the radio. But if you lift up major manufacturers' cushions, the bottom, they cut corners, and the bottom doesn't have fabric on it, so they save money on the fabric. These guys in Utah go full double-sided cushions on the fabric. So let's say you have a spill or an accident, just flip that cushion over. Really nice stuff. Normally, these sectionals are $17.99. I have multiple types and multiple fabrics in stock. You don't got to come in and order and wait 3 to 7 weeks, 5 to 12, to even 20 weeks. I have 7 different styles right now in stock. Like I said, normally $17.99. My dad probably would say $13.99 without doing $12.99 on our sectionals.
Look at you.
Through Saturday. You come in, you say you heard it on the radio, we'll do it for $12.99. That's the Clayton one or upper on my dad's special, $12.99 on a sectional. Boom.
There's the boom, the signature boom. Boom. You can come down and get these great deals right here at the Warehouse all the way through Saturday. Tom said through Monday, so just tell him you heard it on the radio. Speaking of one-uppers, he's always one-upping. So we appreciate Clayton dialing us in here. 1825 South and 3rd West is where you can find it here, right at that intersection where you turn to go up to the Costco. Easy enough to find. You can find us right here, and it's where you can get the best deals in the Valley. It's the Warehouse, 1825 South, 3rd West. Boom.
This is DJ and...
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.